That Maharaj said, Shravanam, hearing, Kirtanam, chanting, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, not anyone else. So nice to see. Smaranam, remembering. Padasevanam, serving the feet. Achanam, offering worship. With Sadoshapachar, the 16 kinds of paraphernalia. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant. Sakyam, becoming the best friend. Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything. There is a second verse also. Iti pungsharpita Vishnu bhaktis chennavalakshana kriyata bhagavat yadha tanmanye ditam uttamam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body, the mind, and the words, these 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Uravani Pacharine Vishesha Sunyavadi Paskachare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Govardhana Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Again the text. Sri Prahlada Uvacha. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Smaranam Parasevanam. Achanam Vandanam Dasyam. Sakyam Atmanivedanam. This verse is about the 9 processes of devotional service, and they are hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind and words, these 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. My dear devotees, the purport to this text is so long, it is about 15 pages long, and it is clear why this is, why Srila Prabhupada goes in great detail, because this purport is more or less eine Grundsatz papier, paper of our religious spiritual process in Krishna consciousness. And wish, if you wish to read the whole purport, you please can note down the number of this text and read it. I will only read a section of the purport to you, which is about which I have prepared my class for this morning. We all had a wonderful festival, and this is the last time where I can formally address you in a class, because several devotees will leave this morning our Goloka project and go into their respective places again. So I have obviously thought deeply about what to discuss this morning, and therefore please forgive me that I pick only a part of this wonderful purport, which is in which has the same points or mood of what I'm going to explain today. And today I wish to discuss a little bit a question. Question is, how can this process of Krishna consciousness work for me? Well, not Satchidananda Swami, but the individual devotee. It was yesterday where I had a very enlightening experience. I walked behind Srila Prabhupada around the house over the project, and there were times when I felt exactly like being on Harinam. What is the situation in Harinam? You are in one world, the world of chanting and remembering Krishna and in this case, Srila Prabhupada. And out of your perception is another world. The devotees who are... And what was interesting this time for me was that it was not the world of Harinam, of Köln, or the world of Hamburg, which was outside, but it was the world of the festival, which was outside. And of course, when you are not in the position of leading a kirtan, where you are, then you enjoy being part of the whole procession, and just you look around and you're very perceptive and see what you look into the faces of devotees, and from there, because you are already so long in Krishna consciousness, you know. Not long in Krishna consciousness, but in this movement, you know what the devotees are talking about at this moment, because you have discussed many times the same things and know how the face looks when you discuss a certain subject. It's just an experiential data which you observe and process in your mind. And it was a very interesting experience and one of the highlights for me to see the different worlds also in our Hare Krishna movement. Each one of the worlds has their own reasonings and also justifications. So I was thoroughly intellectually thrilled in this exercise of trying to perceive different mindsets during the same festival. It was a sociological study which was quite intense. So today, this morning, I thought to address you on two points, really. I wanted to talk about what many devotees who are a long time in the movement observe, one of the most interesting and deep personal challenges in their own spiritual lives. Okay, so this is an introduction so that you know why we have picked this part of the beautiful purport. Srila Prabhupada talks about Archanam, which is deity worship, and he makes a point that in the deity worship, it is very important to purify the mind. And as we listen to Srila Prabhupada, we will understand that this remains one of the deepest challenges in all of Krishna conscious activities. He says, in the process of worshipping the deities, it is sometimes enjoined, means it's ordered, that one worship the deity within the mind. In the Padma Purana, Uttara Kanda, oh, I have to tell Jai Gopal where this is, I'm sorry. Also ungefähr 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 Seiten into the purport. Das wird nachher die Geschichte von dem Brahmana aus Pratishtanapura erzählt, wenn du dieses Wort findest. Godavari, der war und so. Ja? So, ein Absatz davor lese ich jetzt vor. In the process of worshipping the deity, it is sometimes enjoined that one worship the deity within the mind. In the Padma Purana, Uttara Kanda, it is said for sannyasis. No, wrong. I was in the wrong light. In the Padma Purana, Uttara Kanda, it is said, all persons can generally worship within the mind. This will be a new point for you, so please listen very carefully. You can do your worship generally in the mind. The Gautamiya Tantra states, for a sannyasi who has no home, worship of the deity within the mind is recommended. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is stated by Lord Narayan that worship of the deity within the mind is called Manasa Puja. One can become free from the four miseries by this method. Worshipping Krishna in the mind. No more miseries. Sometimes worship from the mind can be independently executed. According to the instruction of Avyahotra Muni, one of the Navayogendras, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, one may worship the deity by chanting all the mantras. Eight kinds of deities are mentioned in the Shastra, and the mental deity is one of them. Hare Krishna. You think of Krishna, in other words. That's a deity. In this regard, the following description is given in the Brahma Vaivata Purana. In the city of Pratishthanapura, a beautiful story which you have, you know already from Nectar of Devotion, but please listen how nice Prabhupada, not nice, how charming Prabhupada narrates this story here in the Bhagavatam. In the city of Pratishthanapura, long ago, there resided a Brahmana who was poverty-stricken, but innocent and not dissatisfied. He was satisfied. One day, he heard a discourse in an assembly of Brahmanas concerning how to worship the deity in the temple. In that meeting, he also heard that the deity may be worshipped within the mind. This gets so interesting that we have to open the window here so that all of you will be very happy to receive this divine transcendental knowledge. Wir können das richtig schwer angewandt. Ist Jagopal, ja, Jagopal sitzt hinten, das geht. Am besten den Blumentopf runtergehen. I know after festival the real challenge of our philosophical interest is pronounced before us. So this Brahmana heard in a meeting that the deity may be worshipped within the mind. After this meeting, after this incident, the Brahmana, having bathed in the Godavari River, began mentally worshipping the deity. He would wash the temple within his mind. Shrub, shrub, shrub. And then in his imagination, he would bring water from all the sacred rivers in golden and silver water pots. He collected all kinds of valuable paraphernalia for worship, and he worshipped the deity very gorgeously. Gorgeously. That means very opulently. Beginning from bathing the deity and ending with offering arati. Thus he felt great happiness. After many years had passed in this way, one day within his mind, he cooked nice sweet rice with ghee to worship the deity. He placed the sweet rice on a golden dish and offered it to Lord Krishna. But he felt that the sweet rice was very hot, and therefore he touched it with his finger. He immediately felt that the finger had been burnt by the hot sweet rice, and thus he began to lament, "Allah!" While the Brahmana was in pain, Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha began smiling, and the goddess of fortune inquired from the Lord why he was smiling. Lord Vishnu then ordered his associates to bring the Brahmana to Vaikuntha. Thus the Brahmana attained the liberation of Samipya, the facility of living near the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatyari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Go Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. I think we did this a second time. We can also do it a third time. This is so good. Anyways, sorry for... Yes, so here Srila Prabhupada in the section of Achanam, section to which he dedicates really 4 pages, 5 pages of this beautiful purport, talks about one interesting item of worshipping the deity. He talks about engaging the mind in deity worship. Technically, this is called Manasa Puja, and according to this quotation from the Padma Purana, generally all people can do this type of worship. Now, not all of us are regularly engaging in deity puja, deity worship. Therefore, you might ask yourself why today this interesting point was chosen. And also, you might say, yes, it's nice to hear the story of how Krishna accepted the worship in the mind of this Brahmana from Pratishthanapura, but you might not immediately be able to relate this story and the point to your own spiritual life. And therefore, I will attempt now to help you to relate this to your lives. Now, in our sense of well-being is very much determined by the state of our consciousness and our mind. In fact, what we think about describes our reality. The mind has powers which are described in Bhagavatam to be godlike, so awesome. And the whole purpose of really all spiritual practice or yoga practice is to Shishirada Madan Mohan Ki Jai, is to become free from those tendencies in the mind which are harmful to our spiritual development, and to become enriched with the right focus in our mind. Whenever Srila Prabhupada spoke about yoga, the link of the individual soul with Krishna, he used to quote the authority on yoga, who's called Patanjali. You might be interested to hear, those who are lovers of spiritual texts, that our own Vyasadeva wrote a commentary to the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. There's such a commentary. It's amazing. He is really the authority on yoga. He also got conscious yoga. He says one of the most important rules is full surrender to God. Hare Krishna. But of course, Bhakti Yoga, he was not the specialist on Bhakti Yoga. That we cannot say. But he established the general yoga principles which are required for every practitioner of yoga. And therefore, he is quoted in all yoga traditions, also our own Bhakti Yoga tradition. To convince you that, see, we are in a yoga movement. Yoga means to connect. Srila Prabhupada in his very clear words said, at present we are God minus myself. We don't have a connection, a very dynamic connection. So at present we are God minus myself, separated from him. I'm in minus condition. Oops. Yoga means God plus myself. For so long I was God minus. Now through yoga I become God plus. Krishna must be added to our life. Now to become God plus is something which very much involves the king of the senses, the mind. You must get Krishna in your mind, not just on the t-shirt. Hare Krishna. Patanjali defined the goal of yoga as yoga's chitta vritti nirodha. Short sentence. Which means, the whole meaning of yoga is to stop the acts of the mind. Now for us as devotees, we immediately know it means to stop the acts of the material mind. Now this, to stop the acts of the material mind, is very, very, very important. The mind always has these two functions of accepting something and also rejecting another thing. And when this is done in the material function, you accept things which are materially very pleasant, and you reject those things and experiences which are not pleasant. However, in spiritual life, you have to control the mind a little bit, because you have to perform austerities, which are not pleasant for the material mind. You follow? You can't just go according to pleasure and pain principles, accepting and rejecting in spiritual life. Otherwise, you will always remain on the material platform from which your journey into spiritual life has started. You need to accept some guiding principles which immediately your mind might not like so much, like getting up in the morning and following four rules and regulations and chanting 16 rounds. The mind may not like this. We know the mind is flickering. Sometimes it likes something, sometimes it dislikes it. It's a problem in relationships where the mind accepts the person and then a little later, rejects the same person. This is the material mind. It's not stable. It is chanchala, flickering. So if you, in spiritual life, do not learn to operate with this principle, you will remain on the material platform from where you started and not be able to taste real spiritual life. It's very important, therefore, to bring the waves of the mind of accepting and rejection to a favorable situation in your life. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this becomes especially important when you deal with the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, you gain two types of experiences. I mean millions of experiences. But I want to categorize them into two. One is spiritual experiences, and the other are material experiences. The spiritual experiences we gather when we all come together and glorify Lord Krishna, do an aarti, perform a festival. And the material experiences we gather when we have meet ourselves on our conditional platform. Devotees are still human beings, as you might have noticed by now. And you meet also these human aspects, which are sometimes quite unusual for you. A good friend of mine, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, said that before he joined the Hare Krishna movement, he did not know what it means to be in the variety of the human race. And he said, only if you join the Hare Krishna movement, you get to know the human beings. And he gave a reason. He said, normally a person surrounds himself with people who are of his own caliber, of his own, mindset and so on. But in the Hare Krishna movement, we are all of a sudden together with persons who we would never, ever associate with in ordinary life. For instance, if I do not want to offend anyone, so I will offend myself now. I will say something harsh about myself. For instance, by my conditioned nature, I would select a friend. I would look at him for 10 years, and then decide if I let him close or not. This is my conditioned nature. By my conditioned nature, it's very hard for me to find a friend because I demand very much of a friend. This is my nature. In the Hare Krishna movement, all of a sudden, you have 50 people and 49 of them are not really according to my conditioned nature. I would never have met these people. When I was a kami and there was a shopping street, I would always go around the shopping street. I would never go through it because I couldn't stand these people, who were consumer people. We were very much against this. Konsumergesellschaft. So, but in the Krishna conscious movement, I have as a challenge in my life to be a well-wishing friend to everyone. This is a great task. This is a great duty. Because we are devotees. Krishna loves each one of his devotees. We must learn to be servants of Lord Krishna and somehow encourage everyone and not be so sensitive when someone is not according to our conditioned nature. Hare Krishna, this is a task, but it is a good task. It is necessary. It's a necessary task to become free from false ego and to purify the mind. Now, Queen Kunti makes a very, very interesting observation. He's about this point. She says, suffering comes when human beings interact. They hurt each other. They are impolite towards each other. They are insensitive to the needs of each other. Because, they are in their own world, in their own frame, in their own way of perceiving the world. For instance, if I give a class and a baby screams, the baby, I have hurt the baby. It was so boring for the baby to be in the class. And he wants to express himself. Now, if I'm not well rested, then the baby hurts me. I need to concentrate and you are screaming, please. Let me do my seva. This is a very natural is a very easy example which I think you can understand. Human beings, without wanting to do it, can very easily hurt themselves because they live in their own frames and so on. Therefore, Queen Kunti says suffering comes in the association of human beings. It's also human beings who very often confront us with our karmic reactions. We have been in a certain way to others, and now others are sent to us in our lives, which do something to us. We hear Maharaj Chitraketu, who wanted so desperately to have a son, but it was not within the plan for him. It was not meant to be. Finally, he went to a sadhu, Angira Muni, Narada Muni came to him and blessed him. What do you want to have? And he said, I want to have a son. Now, the two saints knew that he was not meant to have a son. It was not in his karma, if we can say so. But he wanted so much to have a son, so they gave a blessing to him and said, yes, you will get a son, but this son will not be the cause of making your life easier, like you think now. This is not meant to happen. This son will also inflict misery on you. He will be harsha shoka. Maharaj Chitaketu couldn't immediately understand what this blessing meant. He will be the cause of happiness and distress. He said, all right, just give me the son. And he got a son, but the son was poisoned by one terrible intrigue it was just a very disgusting political intrigue. In this case of the by the co-wives of the wife who bore him a son, that he suffered such incredible pain, even maybe more than the pain of not having the son. He was not meant to enjoy through this type of father pleasure. So, but this suffering was inflicted to him by a person, a human being, his dear son and his I guess dear wives, you know, they inflicted this suffering. So we get our karmic reactions very often through human beings. Haribo! And therefore it is very different. And we get them very often through the human beings who are close by. Sometimes our wife or husband or our child and the people we live together with. You know? So in this situation, if you want to stay a devotee, it's very important to learn to put your mind at rest at the lotus feet of Krishna. If you don't learn this now, you will never learn it. There are many of our devotees who have not learned it, who are hurt and who have very bitter feelings. And it's a very realistic pain in their heart which cannot be overlooked. They say, they look for someone who inflicted this pain. They point at ISKCON's authorities or persons within ISKCON. Hare Krishna, Nanda Gopal, Guten Morgen. They look on this, but but this pain which they feel is their own karmic situation. It wouldn't be there if they would not have been responsible for this. This is a very deep point, and please try to look on it. If you sit on the toilet And underneath of you, oops, I must see that the deities don't see me, is the human product. You cannot curse the human product. You have eaten the sabjis. Hare Krishna. The Germans have a strange fascination with biology. Do you follow? You are responsible for this unpleasant part of life. This not very fragrant part of life. You are responsible for this. It's part of the existence. So the misery which we get in our lives, we are responsible for this. We have created in this situation. If we look from a spiritual perspective, I'm not trying to say that people who misbehave are therefore excused. Of course not. Those who misbehave against devotees, they have a difficult future before them. This is clear. I'm just wanting to focus now how to deal with your own misery and suffering, which will come also in the association of devotees. This is my focus. Huh? I'm not talking about Vaishnav etiquette. That's another class, how to behave towards Vaishnavas and do them very good. We have many classes about this subject as well. My dear devotees, I want to encourage you to practice in your life this simple art. When you feel misery, which is bound to come, physical and mental miseries are bound to come, please don't try it for a moment to not always point with your fingers at the misbehavior of others. There is a time and a place to do this also. But we are now talking in the Bhagavatam classes not about social issues, but about deep personal spiritual issues. We want to advance in Krishna consciousness. This is the subject. Practice, try to find out how in this moment of hurt and suffering can you still remain Krishna conscious. Prabhupada wrote in a very nice way about a devotee. If the devotee doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he is struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. Lord Chaitanya also advised this. He says, Kirtaniya Sadahari, one should practice chanting the names of the Lord always. The names of the Lord and the Lord are none different from Lord Krishna. So, this art of thinking of Krishna while you're going through your life, also, and especially during this part of your life where you are confronted with miseries which unfortunately are delivered and dished out to you by other human beings, the human beings in your immediate surrounding most of the time. This is one of the most wonderful and rewarding practices in Krishna consciousness. I have personally the conviction in my own Krishna conscious life that to really think what is the most Krishna conscious way in a certain situation is this is what I have to learn. When we stand before the deities, to try to not for a moment not think about the difficult things. I think you can imagine here on this project we have many devotees who live together, and it's not that we all are exactly like-minded, and therefore sometimes something doesn't go exactly 100% right for everyone. And you stand before the deity and you have heard about this and this thing and that thing, and of course, this moves the mind very, very, very much. But during the time of the darshan, to think, now I am before you, Lord Krishna. I want to think of you and I want to remember your beautiful form and so on. This is one of the most intense and beautiful yoga practices which you can practice in the life. Hare Krishna. When we don't learn to focus our minds actively on Krishna, to rest our mind in Krishna consciousness while we're struggling for existence, we have no chance. Also not in ISKCON. It won't work. Because we would like to have this society so pleasing for everyone, so wonderful for everyone. But because we are on different levels of spiritual advancements and we have different possibilities to control our conditioned natures, we are not always able to do this. And therefore, things like envy and things like hurt and things like groobiness and differences of opinion can disturb us on our level quite much. So we don't learn this here. By the way, you will not learn it in a secular society. The hurt of others will also come there, most properly in different languages. But the same stuff has to come. It has to come, because this is part of the human experience. It belongs to it. You can't avoid it. So in Krishna consciousness, we should therefore see what are the possibilities for a devotee, for a sadhaka, to control his mind and put it on Krishna. I want to read to you a letter which Srila Prabhupada wrote to the German on this subject. Prabhupada, in this letter, he must have heard about some difficulties in the German yatra, and he wrote this letter, which seems to be almost timeless in regards to the spiritual instructions which are contained in this letter. What should I do with my youngest audience? Nanda Gopal. Gerade nicht. Hare Krishna. Vielleicht will er ja da bleiben und einfach nur eine andere Sitzstellung oder so. Also, was willst du denn? Sag uns, wir geben dir alles. Wie bitte? Also, mit Bhagavatama. Er muss es ja lernen, dass es, vielleicht klappt es ja. Nanda Gopal ist einer meiner Freunde, also wir sind auf der exakt gleichen Wellenlinie. Und das muss irgendwann mal klappen mit uns. Please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter. I'm glad to hear that you are trying to make your service more perfect. That is most encouraging to me. Now he instructs. You will now see the guru in his heavy mood. Now it comes. It is most important, Acha, most important, that our activities be regular, or in other words, on a schedule. We must make a plan. Everyone should chant his beads 16 rounds daily without fail and follow the regulative principles strictly. These basic Krishna conscious duties are essential to be performed regularly. And now he gives the reason. Why is it most important to do this? And they will give you the necessary strength of spirit to keep always fixed up in devotional service. So we get strength to remain fixed up. As soon as a devotee is regularly engaged in this way, always engaged in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will reveal the whole spiritual science from within the heart of such sincere devotee. This program of chanting and following the rules and regulations will give you spiritual intelligence for understanding the Bhagavad Gita and our other scriptures also. So we will get strength which we need, and also spiritual intelligence to understand this whole. Prabhupada often said it's a science, it's not a shallow thing, nichts Oberflächliches. It's a deep thing. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that this devotional service is so powerful that even if a devotee occasionally falls down from the standard, so that's all right, that's normal it seems, there is no loss for him, no problem. If occasionally a devotee falls away from the standard, but if he keeps to the process, it's so powerful. If he is sincere, he will automatically rectify his error, and Lord Krishna immediately purifies him from within. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita also, that for the devotee, Krishna gives all protection, and there is never any loss for him. But if one is not engaged in Krishna consciousness, there is no gain for him in any position of material life. Please note how understanding Prabhupada deals with this factor, which we also know maybe from our own lives and which we have observed in our communities, that some devotees sometimes fall from this standard of 16 rounds and 4 rules and regulations. But this is not the end of the devotees, and we should be very, very careful if we happen to be able to keep this standard, and if we have no hurt in our hearts, and we are in a happy mood, and no misery is in our life, then we should never be überheblich and judge these. Oh no. No, these devotees are sincere devotees. They are still sincere devotees. I mean, there are some who may not be, but there are definitely sincere devotees. And if they keep this sincerity in Krishna consciousness, oh Krishna, you are my Lord, they keep this simple sincerity in Krishna consciousness, Krishna will help them from within their hearts to give them the right understanding so that they can rectify the error, den Irrtum. Yes. Very good, very timely. So, Prabhupada now comes to the last portion of this letter. So we must stick firmly to the chanting of the holy name and following the rules. This will keep us from being tricked by Maya. But there is no question of disappointment for some temporary bewilderment. We are all new and weak in this Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, we are all new and weak in this Krishna consciousness. Just as everyone in the hospital is diseased, and although they are trying to become well, there's a chance that any one of them may relapse. Also, mach einen Rückfall haben. Diese Möglichkeit besteht. But that does not mean that the hospital should be closed. Sometimes the patients who have a relapse may say, no hospital any longer. No, we need the hospital, and these patients also need the hospital. So we need to keep the standards in our society for Krishna consciousness. It's important. There must be a hospital for the diseased conditioned soul. It is now our business to struggle with Maya, huh? And when we win, when we win, out by Krishna's grace, and when we win out by Krishna's grace, that is to regain our natural healthy life of Krishna consciousness. So there is no case, no cause of disappointment. In other words, Srila Prabhupada said, the struggle has to come. And because we are weak and new, we are all new and weak, he says, it is to expect that we will have a relapse. It will happen. We don't want it, but it might happen. It might also happen to us. But then, what to do? Continue the treatment, struggle with Maya, and win by Krishna's grace. I mean, pray to Krishna that you win. Oh my Lord, please, I'm not so good now. Please help me. Yes. So never be disappointed, even if you are not in the best, on your best. If your book distribution doesn't go so well, and you just don't find in your heart the same determination which you see in other Vaishnavas, and whatever is your relapse, or you, I think it is clear. So, now the end. I am very happy to know that so many young boys and girls are now becoming attracted to the Hamburg temple. That's when I joined. 1970. It's about me. I joined in Hamburg. I mean, actually I joined in London, but I came attracted in Hamburg. I can understand that there is great interest in Germany for Krishna consciousness. Here you hear it. It's not me who says this always. I can understand that there is great interest in Germany for Krishna consciousness. So continue to push our Sankirtan movement more vigorously so that the people may become more and more attracted by this transcendental sound, Hare Krishna. And that will be the greatest service to bring them the true welfare and happiness of life. Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Very good. Very good. Now, you might say, can I practice to remember Krishna while I struggle through existence? How is it possible, asked Prabhupada. The Acharyas give the following example. If a married woman is attached to another man, or if a man has an attachment for a woman other than his wife, then the attachment is to be considered very strong. Did you ever have this? No, you're all very young. But this is called, you know, parakia when there is this extramarital relationship. Marriage is a very secure thing. You have made the signatures, and it's uncomfortable to divorce, so you stick together. But the extramarital relationship requires more of attachment and affection, because it's risky, it's immoral, and so on and so forth. I hope you'd understand from this example, it's not good to, in ISKCON everything is so, please, it's not good, this relationship in the material world. It's the most debased thing. But an example is given here about attachment, no? It's in the material world, this is terrible, you know, to be unethical and so on. But the attachment is very strong at that time because I think it's clear. If a married woman is attached to another man, or if a man has an attachment for a woman other than his wife, then the attachment is to be considered very strong. One with such an attachment is always thinking of the loved one. The wife who is thinking of her lover is always thinking of meeting him, even while she is carrying out her household chores, means duties. In fact, she carries out her household work even more carefully, so that her husband will not suspect her attachment. Similarly, now comes the point, we should always remember the supreme lover, Sri Krishna, and at the same time perform our material duties very nicely. A strong sense of love is required here. If we have a strong sense of love for the Supreme Lord, then we can discharge our duty and at the same time remember Him. But we have to develop that sense of love. We have to develop this sense of love for Krishna. We will only remember Krishna if we have some affection for Him. Otherwise, it just won't work. You can't force your mind to love someone. It doesn't work. Prabhupada now, he describes the process. If one has 50 years of life ahead of him, who has 50 years of life ahead of him? Many of you are 20. Marisha is 20 geworden, oder? Also du hast 50, wahrscheinlich. Who has 50? Dandadrik, how old are you? 44? 34. Ja, 50 hast du noch. Wenn du nicht in einen Unfall verwickelt wärst. Das kann man ja nie wissen hierzulande. So, okay, 50 years. My age is... Thank you. 47 plus 50 is 97. Das schaffe ich. Oder? Kann man auch nicht sagen. Aber 50 Jahre is a good calculation. 50 Jahre. So, okay, it's about us. Prabhus and Madhajis, listen now. 50 years, we are in this category. Wolfgang, du vielleicht nicht unbedingt, oder? 50 Jahre. Auch noch 61 plus 50, 111, ja, schaffst du. Good. If one has 50 years of life ahead of him, he should engage that brief time, kurze Zeit, in cultivating this practice of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to start now. It's a practice of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Prabhupada describes what this practice is. This practice is the devotional process. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Achanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmani Vedanam. What we have. This was in the verse. Prabhupada doesn't give here the full translation, but he gives the most essential practice of this nine processes and explains it, which will help you to practice this. These nine processes, of which the easiest is Shravanam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the realized person, will turn one to the thought of the Supreme Being. This will lead to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one, upon leaving the body, to attain a spiritual body which is just fit for association with the Supreme Lord. Madhavis, let me summarize this for you. The our yoga process is to become God plus. We must plus sein mit Gott, no? And that means to remember Him always. Now we need to learn this. We need to practice also this yoga. yoga, surya namaskar requires a practice. The hard practice. Who of you does regular yoga exercises? It's heavy. Sometimes one doesn't like to do this. But one knows I have to do it for my health. Otherwise my back just breaks. I can go into the hospital if I don't do it. So yoga must be practiced with full determination. This is here. Bodily yoga is not our work. We have to practice remembering Krishna. This is our yoga. And we do this by these 9 processes, of which the hearing about Krishna is most important, and then to remember what we have heard. And be rest assured, there will be severe challenges. The challenges will be, how will you be able, while struggling through your life, to keep this on, to keep this going? And the struggle will be very often the hurt which you feel from other people. But you have, this is part of your, this is your biological product. You have been in a certain situation where now you have this experience. It is there, it has a reason. It is not without a reason. It is with a reason. And do not allow yourself to be blown away by this from your strict practice of Krishna consciousness. And if you do this properly, he said this, this will lead to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one upon leaving the body to attain a spiritual body which is just fit for association with the Supreme Lord. Can I tell you something personal? Do you want to know the most happy day of my life? Huh? No? Good. It was in Hamburg. I was very cold. I distributed books, and I was a very mediocre book distributor and very attached to the results. I wanted to distribute many books. But it just didn't work. I didn't find the right language, or the people thought I'm too strange for them. It just didn't work. It was hard. And I remember I had just finished to try distributing to my old Deutschlehrer, German teacher, and he didn't take the book, Herr Förster. And I was very frustrated because I just thought he needs to read the book to give proper education, and I was very frustrated. But then 3 devotees came running to me, and they looked very blissful. There's a letter from Prabhupada to you. It just arrived at the temple. What? Letter from Prabhupada to me? And I was, of course, immediately trying to think, what did he write me? What was it about? And of course, when they said there's a letter to you, I knew it could only mean one thing. And I remember, I said, really? I can't imagine he accepted me. Well, let us look in the letter. And then we just ran to some place, sat down, opened the letter. I have duly received your, how was it? I have duly accepted you as my disciple. This was the third thing. And thank you very much for your donation of 10 German marks. This was my Guru Dakshin. We were very poor. Extremely poor. Thank you very much of your kind donation. Kind donation of 10 German marks. Prabhupada was very precise always. And then he wrote, you chant your 16 rounds and you follow these four rules of regulations for the rest of your life, you will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. He said this, and it was in the letter. Schwarz auf weiß, black on white. It was the most blissful day in my life. Dancing. And then I was so blissful, I couldn't distribute it. I tried for many hours, but not one person took a book because I didn't care any longer. This was so different than the people, I guess. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for listening to this. Please, I hope I could really relate to you the information. When you do something, start, for instance, when you chant Hare Krishna, start there. Think of Krishna. Hear the name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Be there with your mind. When you have the darshan, look at Krishna. Start with the lotus feet and go up and so on. Pray to Krishna. Be there with your umski, with your mind. When you are with devotees, switch your mind on. How can I serve these devotees, whatever they are? When you eat prasadam, at least feel for a moment, oh, my dear Lord, I like to eat soma. I like to eat, and you have given this to me. Wonderful. Thank you. And then start as much as is necessary in order to stop. Put your mind there. This is very important in remembering Krishna. Without this, you have no chance. Krishna consciousness is not you sit down in this society and then you're back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. We wish this so much. You know, the human mind is like this. Let me not work, my Lord. Let it be very easy. No, we have to work. We have to practice. Because the Lord just wants to see how we develop. So now I will ask for questions. Here's Dina Dayal Prabhu. Dina Dayal Prabhu is worshipping Radha Madhava, the original deities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They are not his deities, but he is sometimes worshipping. Am I correct? Helping. Must be a great soul. Yes. Yeah. The name of Krishna is so powerful, Dinadayal Prabhu says, that I cannot imagine that the miseries which come are karmic reactions, because they, if someone chants, the name would wash away all karmic reactions. Dinadayal Prabhu, you are right, the name is powerful, but the potency of the name will be revealed to you on a certain stage of chanting. The example is given of the sun. The sun is always shining. It's very powerful. But only when the sun begins to rise can we experience the power of the sun to drive away darkness. It is described that a devotee who chants on the platform of Nam Aparad, that is, making offenses against the holy name, is not yet experiencing the benefits of the holy name. Sometimes Krishna is not present there. It's only the alphabet which is present. However, when the devotee sincerely tries to avoid offenses, this is called namabhasa, then he experiences what is called the sunrise of the holy name. Have you ever seen in the sunrise, in that time when the sun is just rising, you do not see the sun as of yet, but you see the light. So a devotee who is on the platform of namabhasa may in his chanting not yet see Krishna, but the effect of the coming of Krishna is already there. This effect is described that things are the effect is described that miseries are destroyed of this namabhasa chanting. And then the Bhagavatam is a very important verse which says how a devotee accepts full responsibility for his misery. It says, Tatenu kampam susumikshamana bunyana evatma kritam vipakam. That a devotee who understands that what he is going through and suffering is due to the is a resultant action, a karmic reaction, to his previously considered done activities, and who at the same time engages body, mind, and word in Krishna's service, becomes the rightful candidate to become delivered. This is a Shastric Praman, and so on. Now, when a devotee properly chants the holy name, the reactions might still come, but the way he perceives it is different, and he is not suffering. I think you are thinking of such a devotee who is properly engaged in devotional service. And Prabhupada said, when something happens to such a devotee, they can be considered as reduced karmic activity. It's Krishna karma. Krishna has treated this. In other words, you should have maybe lost your head in an accident, but because you're now in devotional service and you're trying properly, you only cut your finger while doing wenn du das Gemüse putzt. But it still has something to do with you, the finger cut. What it means in relationship to my lecture, still someone will come and say, you stink. This happens in ISKCON very often. It happens to me quite often. And I have to take responsibility for this. Yes, I was a great sinner. I inflicted miseries on others. Now, therefore, thank you for the question. I hope I have I have finished the doubt. If not, please ask Fakir Mohan. He's much more versed in Shastra than me. Fakir Mohan got the Radha Madhava deity. Any other question, Maritza? Yes. Yeah. The question is, I will repeat it for the tape, how to think of Krishna when you have to engage 100% with your mind and intelligence on an activity which is not directly where Krishna is not in the center, like study. Maritza studying, she's a computer expert already, but seems to study even more, and so on. I can only answer your question with an example which Prabhupada gave. I think you have to have a general disposition of the mind, a general Krishna conscious disposition. General means you have read, you have chanted, and so on. And it is there. It will be there. It will be with you. Although now you send your mind into the computer field and programming or whatever is there, the general thing remains with you. It's not gone. I don't become a non-devotee when I concentrate on switching a computer button, or I'm so much a non-computer man, and they're totally how is this function now, click, and oh no, the borderline, click, and the graphic design, click, and so on, and so on. It's not that you become a non-devotee during this time. It's not that you lose all your Krishna consciousness. The computer is not so powerful. The general disposition remains with you. And Prabhupada gave a very interesting example of this. He gave the example of the Indian household Mataji who goes to the well and draws water for the family, puts the water on her head, and then carries or balances. I would say carries, because balancing means like they just carry it. And they engage in many other activities. They have their child here and one child there. Then they go to the neighbor and gossip a little bit about village affairs and so on. And all this time, there is a general understanding, I carry water. and therefore somehow even, let us say she goes there with her child and then comes a bull and doesn't walk out of the way. The Indian Mataji will know who he is, a bull, and I have the thing on the head. I must carefully step aside, you know, to not lose the water. It's a general disposition of the mind which is there. I think we can understand when a cart comes or whatever. They move and they always have this general understanding or disposition. I'm carrying this water. So in the same way, this general understanding of Krishna consciousness should be there. I'm a devotee. It's something another example on Ekadasi. You know, today I do not wish to eat any grains. It's not that the whole day you think about, I should not eat grains, I should not eat grains, I should not eat grains, but it comes up when the occasion appears, when someone gives you a cookie, and then you have heard in the morning, no, it's Ekadasi, you say, thank you very much, today is Ekadasi for me, I cannot eat, I will take it and tomorrow I will eat it. This is general understanding, this is how Krishna consciousness should be like this in our mind, and so on. Although you may not now think of verses when you go, borderline and graphic design and so on, you are still with the subject matter. Mm-hmm. Any other question? Nityananda Priya.
Some performances of one level, for instance, Arjuna, which is connected with us chanting the 16 rounds. But I have heard several times that I can replace it by Marana, and if I am not chanting or doing this, how can we deal with this?
There are some, I have heard the argument that it's not required, and it's a bona fide argument actually, it's not required to to perform all processes. I just do one. Now, it seems that we have the standard when you do archanam, you require 16 rounds. But is this actually, from where does this come, this regulation? Can't I just practice smaranam? Let us make this argument a little bit stronger. In our books it is said that only one of the processes is sufficient to bring a person back to Godhead. Parikshit Maharaj became perfect by hearing. We do not hear that he chanted japa. We do not hear this. He heard from Shukadev Goswami. He said from morning to 7 days without eating and sleeping, only Shravanam. So why should I use for Archanam chanting 16 rounds? I think when you study Parikshit Maharaj, he heard from Shukadev Goswami the Bhagavatam. It was so Krishna, that Krishna was really there. If you hear the example of Prahlad Maharaj, he was smaranam. He remembered Krishna. Imagine this. In the versus situation when he was on the assassination line. Yes, imagine that they came with spears to fork him up. Aufzuspießen. He remembered Krishna. He was so much absorbed in remembrance that he thought, my father must be joking. The spears are coming. He must be joking, because he's my father after all. Which father would do this to the child? It's not possible. It must be a joke. Imagine, wie absorbiert der sein gewesen sein muss in Krishna. Other processes, I don't wish to go now through all the... Lakshmi, Parasevanam, she's for Parasevanam. She's there with the Lord, you know, massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. This is very, very deep Krishna conscious experience by a very qualified devotee. Now, for this age, we are not so qualified in general. And we need to do what works best in this age for our present situation. It's the holy name. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says, all processes in the Kali Yuga, this is from Bhakti Sandarbha, must be accompanied by the japa, by the chanting of the holy name. If it is Archanam, if it is Vandanam, if it's Padasevanam, and so on. It is very important. Otherwise, we have no chance. We are very weak. This is a very mild way of approaching it, but I could now talk more intense on this subject. I would say it's Srila Prabhupada. We have taken a certain initiation, and this initiation brings us to a certain... I've seen your hand. One moment, please. This initiation brings us to a certain level of spirituality. It's our connection with the Lord. This is our initiation. And we have to follow our initiation vows. Otherwise, we lose the potency. Why do you think a vow is given? The vows are given so that you can be guided in spiritual life. If you interrupt your vows, which you have given, that means your initiation becomes jeopardized, gefährdet. It cannot, the thing. Therefore it is said, please, have you thought about this before you gave the vows? Have you thought about it? Or is there any doubt in this? Can I help you? Can I, please, let us talk about the doubts. But please, no, the initiation cannot be given if you cannot promise this. And I think you shouldn't promise it if you have not understood it, and it's really deep, and then wait better for the initiation. You must be fully convinced why this is helpful. Why this is necessary. I'm trying to, you know, in Goloka Dham, or in modern ISKCON, I want to say, not just Goloka Dham, it's very, very important to speak in a way that everyone can understand why you say this, and there's not just a harsh mentality behind it. It is very important to keep this. Otherwise, where are we? We are so weak. We are so normal. We are not Parikshit Maharaj, and don't have Shukadev Goswami or Prahlad Maharaj. We have to be a little humble. A little humble. Trinadapi Sunichena. But at the same time, it's very, very important to encourage our devotees. I have read this letter. Please, never let us try to get out of this immature set of mind to go into parties. This is the 16 rounds party, and this is the non-16 rounds party. This is not the conflict. The problem is devotees who don't feel the taste of Krishna consciousness. This is the problem. And that is a very personal problem. Many of them are good devotees who are very dear to Krishna, so we must somehow break our heads and serve these Vaishnavas also, that they can feel the taste. That they can feel the taste again, and then they will soon maybe do better than us. It is possible. This is the duty of the devotee association, is to give encouragement. This is the duty, not to give. But of course, we must tell the truth. This doesn't mean to lie or to water down the standards. But it's our duty to encourage people to Krishna consciousness. Also our devotees who sometimes may have difficulties. We may sometimes need also this. Sorry, I'm getting a little comfortable here. Now, the question, Dina Dayal had a question, but you can ask this personally. Please. Thank you very much, Dina. Yes, we are very normal people. We make mistakes, offenses. We need to be on the spiritual level. Prabhupada says, chanting just gives you the